Even though Costa Rica is pretty advanced in many ways, these women lived 5 hours from the capital, very remote, very rural, lots of machismo. And in the 90s, there was a coffee crisis, and the price that the farmers were being paid for the coffee was actually less than what it cost them to process it. So they left the village to go to Nicaragua, to the U.S., to the capital for work, and it literally was a village of women. And they said, well, you know, maybe we should have a sewing circle. And they thought, well, nobody lives out here. There's no one to sell to, and in the nearest supplies are an hour and a half away. So let's figure out how to grow higher quality coffee. And let's figure out how to build a mill locally so we don't have to rely on a third party and we can get a differentiated price. What's very interesting about this story is they failed many times. First, they started out as roasters and they burnt all the coffee.
They ruined an entire season's harvest, didn't they?
They did. The first time that they ran the coffee through the mill, it wasn't dried properly, and it was full of mold. And so they took it to Grace Mena, who's in the film, and she's the head of the International Women's Coffee Alliance now. She said, I can't buy this. This is terrible.
Obviously, she played a huge role in that, as did you, in bringing everyone's consciousness and awareness of what actually happened. And that's kind of my question. You know, you've got these women in Biolay Village, in the middle of nowhere. You've got Grace, who's in another part of the country exporting the coffee. Then there's you, another part of the world.
And then there's Illy, who's in Italy, who's involved with the film,
right,
too.
Right, so they are the big coffee manufacturers. But is it a repeatable kind of phenomenon? Because it has its own momentum now. But can this happen somewhere else? Is it a one-off?
I think it's a repeatable phenomenon. There's 500,000 people worldwide that are involved in making coffee, and there's a couple hundred thousand that rely on it as their only source of income. So I've learned that while the Asamoah women are amazing in their own right, that there are now women in Burundi and Rwanda and Uganda and small villages in Brazil that are learning how to grow better coffee and how to negotiate prices. They go from being relegated to a lesser role to a decision-making role. And as you may or may not know, women tend to reinvest 90% of their income into their families and their communities.
It's absolutely true. More money's going back into the community if it's earned by women. But these men came back and were suitably
almost all of
chided
them came back,
and chastened,
yes.
I should say. But these women, they made it, they turned it around to their advantage. They have sent their children to college. What are the children doing now? What do they think about what their parents have done?
The first time that I went down there, by coincidence, one of the daughters of some of the association members was home from college, and she was running around measuring things and on her computer, and I asked her what she was doing, and she's doing her college thesis on Asamoah. She's now graduated, and she's the new manager of Asamoah. So the baton has been passed, and the next generation is taking over. And I think it's remarkable that rather than go to a big city, get a degree, and go somewhere else, that these women are choosing to come back. It's a very small story, but it's a universal story.